Turn me up just a little bit, Caleb. Okay. We have so much food left over ordinarily that we always buy takeout boxes. And so we fill those up with food and take them to friends, neighbors, family. We always have plenty of food left over, and we try to do that. We were talking about what to call this fourth Sunday night, family life in the Bob. I just started putting on my calendar stand, Bob life. Bob life. But I tell you what now, I don't know about this getting more relaxed part. If we get more relaxed, some of us may slip into a coma. We may have to break out that defibrillator back there for somebody. Please open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 10. We're going to be looking at that. If you don't have a Bible, then bring get us one on the pew in front of you, or your electronic device, your iPad, your Kindle, your phone. This is our Wi-Fi password on the screen, so just log in to the Farmington COC, and you'll be able to pull up your Bible on your electronic device. From Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to chapter 11 verse 18, there's over 60 verses in the broader text for today, so I'm not going to be reading them all, obviously. But I encourage you to open your Bibles and turn on your devices, and we're going to be looking at quite a few of these verses. I sometimes call the book of Acts Luke, the sequel. Luke wrote two books in the New Testament, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and this book that is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, it's not the Acts of the Apostles, it's some of the Acts of some of the Apostles. The first half of the book of Acts is about Peter's ministry to the Jews. And the second half, almost exactly the second half, is about Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. By this point in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, Jesus has appeared numerous times after his resurrection, appeared to numerous people, and then he's ascended back into heaven. By this time in the book of Acts, the old covenant has been shown to be fulfilled, and the good news of the new covenant has begun to be preached in Jerusalem. By this point in the book of Acts, many thousands have been baptized into Christ and have become Christians. By this time in the book of Acts, though, a great persecution has broke out against the church. And it began with the execution of Stephen, a deacon in Jerusalem. And people have been scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And the principal character in this persecution is a man named Saul of Tarsus. By this time, the gospel has been preached in Samaria by Philip. And although he hasn't yet, Saul of Tarsus himself will be converted to Jesus as he meets him on the road to Damascus, as he's going to persecute Christians. And he will assume the name of Paul and be an apostle. And he will take the gospel into most of the Roman world at that time. And that's what the second half of the book of Acts is about. But before that, here in Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11, we have what I'm calling the conversion of Peter and the conversion of Cornelius. God, through an angel, appears to Cornelius, and he's a Roman centurion. A centurion is a Roman soldier in charge of a squad of 100 men. And an angel appears to Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is ready to do whatever God says. He's ready. In chapter 10, verse 2, Cornelius was already a God-fearing man, that is, a Yahweh-fearing man. And he was a man, it says in the text, of great prayer and great generosity. In chapter 10, verse 7, it indicates that Cornelius had also influenced some of his soldiers to follow Yahweh rather than their false Roman deities. Cornelius may have been the centurion that we read about all the way back in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 8 through 10. This centurion had come to Jesus, and he was very concerned about his servant who was very sick and about to die. And Jesus said, "Well, let's go to your place and I'll heal your servant." And he said, "No, Lord, you know, I'm a Gentile. You don't even need to come to my house. You just say the word and I know my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "I have not found anyone in Israel. I've not found anyone in Israel with that great of faith." And he was astonished. If Cornelius is not that centurion, then it's quite possible that he was either influenced by that centurion or he had influenced that centurion. But here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, the angel says to Cornelius, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Now, two things about that. Number one, God heard his prayers. He noticed his offerings. He heard his prayers that he said, and then he enjoyed the prayers of giving to the poor and those in need. And the angel calls his prayers and gifts a memorial offering to God. It's a kind of reflection of the offerings that the Jews were making in the temple, memorial offerings. Folks, what this tells me is the heart means a lot to God. Isn't that what he's always said? You look at the outside, I look at the inside, I look at the heart. God had never forgotten the Gentiles. Remember the story of Jonah? God sent him to a whole city of Gentiles in Nineveh to get them to repent because he loved them. Now the second thing to notice about this is that Cornelius' prayers and gifts did not save him. The angel appearing to him did not save him. Hence the need for Peter. Cornelius needed no further motivation, folks. He just needed further instruction. This narrative is about the salvation of Cornelius and his friends and family that gathered with him. But as an extension of that, it's about the door of the kingdom of Christ being opened to the Gentiles, to all nations. However, before this can ever take place, there's another conversion that needs to happen. And this narrative is about that as well. Peter and the men he took with him were already Christians, obviously. However, they needed a drastic change of heart away from the racism that they felt toward non-Jews and the prejudice of exclusivity. They had to be weaned away from that before they would ever welcome other nations into the joy of the Lord. They had long forgotten the actual promise that God made to Abraham. That promise was never to the Jews alone. Now, God gave the nation of the Jews a great nation. He gave them a land to inhabit and inherit. But the promise that God gave to Abraham was never to the Jews. It was that through the Jews, speaking of the Messiah, all nations would be blessed. All nations. It was never meant to be a privilege. It was meant to be a responsibility. Well, the angel told Cornelius, send men to Joppa. There's a man there that named Simon. He's a tanner. Peter's staying at his house. Send men there and have him come to your house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9 and following, about noon the following day, Peter went up to the roof to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Now, I usually fall into a trance after lunch. 20 to 30 minutes, preferably, with visions of 12-point bucks and 10-pound bass. You've read this before. Peter had a vision of something like a sheet. And the sheet was full of animals. It was full of unclean animals. Animals that the old covenant had forbade the Jews to eat. And then Peter hears this voice, "Peter, get up and start killing and grilling." Peter said, "No, Lord, not just once, not just twice, but three times." Have you ever noticed how Peter always seems to blunder in multiples of three? The Lord kept saying, "Don't call anything impure that I have made clean." And then in verse 16 it says the animals were taken back into heaven. Okay, so there might be animals in heaven. I don't know. It's a vision. If there are animals in heaven, I hope there are lots of 12-point bucks and 10-pound bass. That's what I'm hoping for. At that moment, in verse 19, the Holy Spirit says to Peter, "There are men downstairs looking for you. Go with them." Now, please notice here. Don't fail to notice. The Holy Spirit, and we talked about this Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's a being. He's an entity. And he's overseeing this whole situation. The Holy Spirit delivered the Word of God to us, but he is not the Word of God. He has a sword, but he is not the sword. Okay? I want you to see here that this whole situation is under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, who is about to make another kind of appearance in the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. But notice what Peter says to Cornelius in verse 28. He says, You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit with him. Really? Was that against God's law? I think it was just more their law. Peter says, God has shown me, though, that I should not call any man pure or unclean. And I just want to say, hallelujah. Peter got it. He understood that the vision about animals was not really about animals. It was about people. And he says in verse 34, that famous statement, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And the Holy Spirit just causes the all nations light bulb to go off over Peter's head. They should have always understood it, but their traditional belief system had blocked out the all nations concept. The promise that God made to Abraham that all nations would be blessed, they didn't get it. But now Peter does. God has never stopped loving the Gentiles. He's never left them hanging. They were always part of his plan. Now Peter gets it. I personally think there should have been another hallelujah moment right then. Peter should have said, praise the Lord, I can now eat bacon. I can now eat barbecue. I can now eat catfish. I can now eat shrimp and lobster. None of that stuff was on the menu before. But now he can. In chapter 10, verse 36, Peter mentions all that Cornelius already knew. So he says, he tells Cornelius, you already know this. You already know that the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, you already know that. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, if you're following along in the text. You already know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And you know how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So maybe he is the centurion of Matthew 8. But although he already knew all of this, he was not welcome into the kingdom of God yet. Cornelius was quite a fella. He was quite a person. And his whole family with him and a lot of his friends. The truth is that no one who was interested in what the one true God was doing in Israel would have missed any of this. Then in the text, Peter says in chapter 10, verse 39, we are witnesses to this as well. You already know this. We are witnesses of it. The Jewish leaders killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree. It's a metaphor for the cross. But God raised him from the dead and caused him to be seen by other people who were witnesses of all of this. In chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And here's what I believe Luke wants the reader to know, you and I to know. Though Peter had gotten the message that the animals were really about people and God's acceptance of them, he and the Christian brothers with him, they needed to be two or more witnesses, he and the Christian brothers witnesses that were with him needed further convincing. They still needed that blindfold taken off their eyes where they could fully see what God intended them to see. Verse 45, it says, they were astonished. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They could not deny it. Remember last week we were talking about the crippled man that was healed by Peter and John at the city gate called Beautiful. And the point I made was that they could not deny that miracle. It said, well, you've done an outstanding miracle and we can't deny it. Hear the same proof. They could not deny that God was active and working in this situation. For they heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. This evidentiary sign was proof of God's full acceptance of the Gentiles. And it sparked the full realization that to Peter and those with him that they had been accepted by God equally with the Jews. But like the Jewish Christians, Cornelius and those with him needed to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. In verse 47, Peter said, they have received the Spirit just as we have. And those four words, just as we have, are some of the most important in the text, to Peter anyway. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles spoke in other languages. And it was a sign to the Jews from other countries who were listening, and they all heard Peter and the other apostles speaking in their own language. But this miraculous sign, speaking in other languages on Pentecost, had nothing to do with the salvation of the apostles. It was a sign to those listening. Here in Acts 10, once again, the sign of languages offers proof to the Jews who were there with the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, and to the Gentiles, that they were equally accepted by God into the kingdom. But the sign of speaking in other languages didn't have anything to do with their cleansing from sin either. It didn't make them Christians, as some in the religious world would have us to believe. The appearance of the angel didn't cause them to be saved, as others would say that they had. It provided to Peter and those with him the evidence that they had been accepted by God to become Christians. So without delay, Peter ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is the point where they became Christians. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 5:25-27. Peter says something, and it's almost incidental, the point that I'm making from it. The point isn't even about salvation, it's about marriage. The point specifically is about the way husbands are to treat their wives. And Paul says there, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Now notice what he says, by cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, to be holy and blameless. But how does the holiness, how does the blamelessness come to the church and to those in it, its people? You can't take the washing out of it, folks. You can't take the baptism out of the salvation experience. You can't take repentance out. You can't take confession out. You can't take the faith out of it. And neither can you take the cleansing out of it. So Peter says, let's baptize them. They need to become Christians. They need to be added to the saved, just as all those people on Pentecost and every day since. Titus 3:5, now some people will say, well, that's a work. And I'm saying all this, not so much for, I'm not preaching to people who aren't here, but I want to say something to those who are listening to this lesson via the internet, through our website. And Titus, some people will say, well, your baptism, you guys just make it a work. No, read Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. It says there that we are saved by the washing of rebirth, and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says in the verse prior to that, this is not a work of righteousness. It's not something we do. It's something that we submit to that Jesus does. And so Cornelius had no problem submitting to that. He was ready. He was motivated. He just needed the instruction from Peter to preach the good news of the gospel to him. But Peter had to see this evidentiary sign before he even would. Well, the rest of our text in chapter 11 is about Peter going to Jerusalem and recounting this conversion situation, the conversion of Cornelius to the leaders of the church back in Jerusalem. And in chapter 11, verse 2, basically they say, you did what? You went into the home of the uncircumcised man and ate with them? Oh, Peter, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. But by the time Peter finishes telling them all of this, and the witnesses all agreeing in it, the key point here being that they spoke in other languages. They say in chapter 11, verse 18, the men in Jerusalem had no further objection, and they praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And I just want to say hallelujah. And you all here today need to say hallelujah with me. Say it with me. Hallelujah, because you are Gentiles. And is anybody here that's all Jewish? I would love it if there was somebody, but we're all Gentiles. And like Cornelius, we have been embraced by God into the kingdom. It was always part of His plan. But I can say hallelujah because I was able to give my heart and life to God. Confess that Jesus is my Savior. To turn away from the life that I'd been living and to have my sins washed away in the water that represents the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't know what happens to Cornelius after this. He's never mentioned again. But I think the big ideas here are as plain as they can be. So I would say that if you are here today and you have never been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, if you've never been made holy and blameless, radiant, without stain or blemish, through the washing of water through the Word, then today would be a good day to begin your walk. Man, Cornelius could not wait. His family could not wait. His friends could not wait. They longed to be welcomed into the kingdom. And God welcomes everyone. So, where's your heart this morning? Well, I'll tell you, that God's watching it. He's looking at it. And if you're not a Christian, He wants your heart. He wants your life. Will you give it to Him today? If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and I know that I've been a Christian for now for about 50 years, and I still struggle. I still need the prayers. I still need to get with people and ask them to pray with me for weaknesses, for various reasons, for good things that happen and not for me to stay humble when good things happen and for thanking God with other people, not just my own voice, but to thank Him with others for good things that happen, blessings, whatever you would like to go to God with today. If you'd like for us to go with you to Him, then we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing together.